when he made man in the wilderness and put him in the garden, that man he made before sin entered the scene, he made that man for courage. You cannot separate masculinity and courage.
It's not the critic who counts, not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who was actually in the arena, whose face is marked by dust and sweat and blood.
Welcome to the Men in the Arena podcast, sponsored by Mountain Tough Fitness Lab.
Be the best version of you, because when a man gets it, everyone wins. Enjoy today's episode.
In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27, Paul says, I discipline my body and make it my slave. You know, we often forget, guys, that God has called us to steward the bodies he gave us so that we'll be ready, healthy, and spiritually dangerous to fight the good fight, whether it's working at your job, serving your God, protecting your bride, or being a great dad to your kids. That's why we're so excited to partner with Mountain Tough Fitness Lab. Mountain Tough Fitness Lab is run by Christian men who are passionate about training you to be your best version and to stay dangerous and ready for God. Join me on my journey by going to mountaintough.com. That's MTNTOUGH and getting your free 6-week trial when you type in the code ARENA30. You won't be disappointed. Stay dangerous. What type of dad are you? Guys, in my 35 years of ministry, I've noticed that guys basically fall into two categories. And in those categories, there are four types of dad or four phases that you pass through as a dad. We just dropped an amazing quiz to help you discover what type of dad you are. Find out what type of father you are and get our custom resources fit to meet the needs and the questions you are asking. Head on over to menarena.org. Join 20,000 men from around the world and find out the type of dad you are. In my house, on my wall, I have a thermostat. And in fact, I think there's one right here. Thermostat. So you install somebody smarter than me installs the thermostat and walks away. And that thermostat will probably sit right there for the life of the house or the building, right? But then my wife has completely commandeered our bathroom now that our kids are at the house. I have this little baby bathroom, and my wife has this big, every drawer is taken, and in the top left drawer somewhere, there is a thermometer. Now, the last time we used the thermometer, it wouldn't work because we hadn't used it in so many years, we didn't have batteries for it. But that thermometer, it can be found in any drawer in the house. And when you need it, it tells you the temperature. So if you want to know the temperature of a person, you just take that thermometer and you put it in their mouth or put it in their ear or wherever it needs to go, and it'll tell you the temperature of that person. If you take this on the wall here, this will not only tell you the temperature, but this will regulate to the temperature that you want it. So this is a regulator. Oh, does that make sense? So when we look at this thing called courage, we look at our third attribute of courage, it struck me that in a relationship, women are the thermometers and men are the thermostats. In other words, women in a relationship, if there's any man here who thinks I'm wrong, let me know. I'm pretty sure this is across the board. God has made women to monitor the temperature of the relationship. It's very easy to tell where you actually are if you just ask the woman. But men regulate. God has called us to be culture changers, climate controllers, regulators. So we are by nature fix-it guys. So God has called us to fix things. So think about this. Relationally speaking, if the woman is the thermometer and the man is the thermostat, if we translate that over to masculinity, God has made us to be culture changers, to be climate changers, to be people who regulate things. Being a man of courage literally is when we talk about this fourth trait of masculinity, this fourth trait of courage it's a character trait over time, okay? So this is something that a man develops after being forged in the fires of choices in life and being subject to deciding his moral compass, his spiritual compass. So tonight, I want to finish this fourth and final installment in Guts of Manhood with Courage, a character trait that compounds over time. So review. So we talked about 3 weeks ago, courage, the first attribute of courage, it is a call to action. Something happens, some event happens, some unction happens. Something creates a moment in our life when we are called to courage. And then the second attribute of courage is we need to then choose courage. In the Bible, we read about courage, it's always, he found courage, he gathered courage, he took courage. And it's a command, but it also is something that we choose. Remember, it's not inherent. It's not a spiritual gift. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not one of the 613 Mosaic laws. This is something that we choose, we find, we go after it. The third thing is it's a sign of strength. Last week we talked about how 19 out of 47 times in the New American Standard, God pairs strength with courage. Tonight we're going to talk about another one of those pairings in the Bible. And then tonight is, of course, a characteristic over time. So I want you to look in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 16:13, and I want you to stay in whatever translation that you have, because tonight I'm going to go back and I'm going to blow up a few of your translations. So you can either go get your Sharpie pen and fix it, or you just get another translation. But I want to compare about six translations of the Bible and how they describe this word. And there's a word here that's only mentioned this right here in the Bible. It's the only time in the Bible this one word is ever mentioned. So we really have to take stock at this word. So here we go. I'm going to start with the NIV. I'm going to move through the translations. So here we go. Who has NIV? Raise your hands. Raise your hands. Okay, NIV. Here's what it says. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. So we see a pairing there. Who has New King James Version? Anybody New King James? King James is my favorite version. So we'll save that one. New King James says this. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. New Living Translation. Who has that in here? Anybody? New Living Translation? New Living Translation. I actually love this translation. It's not as word accurate, but it's not supposed to be. It's more of a reader's version. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be courageous. Be strong. My favorite translation is the King James Version, which simply says, quit like a man. No, it says, quit you like men. And I just love that. And the word quit, if you go back to the Middle Ages, it basically means to cease or to stop. So it basically, how are you going to quit? How are you going to stop like a man? Well, how does a man do that? He doesn't. That's what that means. He doesn't. So let's move into my personal Bible that I use every day, New American Standard. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Now listen to this. Act like men. Be strong. You should be scratching your head right now. I just did something. I feel like I violated you a little bit. Let's hang in there. English Standard Version. Any of those guys in here? English Standard Version, guys? Okay. English Standard Version. Be watchful. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. How about Holman Christian Standard Version? Any of you guys out there? Holman Christian Standard Version. Be on the alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like men. Be strong. So note the pairing of strength and courage again from last week. Let's look at verse 13. Verse 13 says this, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men. So let's think about this, act like men. Or some of your Bibles say be courageous. So it hit me, whether you believe one translation is accurate or not, I think we'd all agree that this, based on these various translations, courageous character is God's original design for men. In other words, when God created masculinity, he made it to be synonymous with courage. In other words, acting like a man, New American Standard, and being courageous are meant to be synonymous. When God made you in the Garden of Eden, he made you to be a man of courage. Courage is an inherent, original design. I feel like I'm talking loud again. Originally designed, inherent characteristic that God has planted in a man. Just watch the news. Whenever there's a tragedy, who's rescuing people? It is never, and I'm not, I love strong women. I'm a big fan of strong women. But it's always the men, always. Why? Is it because women are less than? No, it's because men love that stuff. Men thrive to prove their courage. It's because when we act courageously, it's inherent in who we are. It's our Garden of Eden moment before the fall coming out in us. So look at this. Ezekiel 22 says this, Will your courage endure? Your hands be strong in the day I deal with you. I, the Lord, have spoken. So he's asking him, is this characteristic of courage, is it going to endure? So listen to this. So this, in the Bible, this is the only time this word, act like men, is one word in the Greek. Be courageous. It's one Greek word. We've translated it into act like men, or some of your Bible translations say, be courageous or be brave or quit you like men. Okay? The Greek word, listen to this, this is so cool, is A-N-D-R-I-Z-E-T-H-E, andrazethe. It's the only time in the Bible this word is ever mentioned, okay? Now here's what, now we've got to go to Bible commentators from hundreds of years ago and see what they say about it. And these are pastors. So Albert Barnes says this, the word occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. It means to render one manly or brave, again, original design, to show oneself a man, that is, not to be a coward or timid or alarmed at enemies, but to be bold and brave. We have a similar phrase in the Comus language. This is a quote. I'm reading a direct quote. Albert Barnes, hundreds of years ago, said, we have a similar phrase in common use. Be a man. So Albert Barnes, writing about this word andrazethe, says this verse literally means be a man. New American Standard says act like a man. If you have a New International Version, realize courage here is synonymous with manhood. This is a man word. It's not a woman word. It's attributed to men, the gender man. Are we tracking? And I'm not pulling some agenda on you. I'm telling you biblical truth from the Word of God, from the original language, that when the Bible here says andrazethe, it says that means act like a man, be a man. So I believe with all my heart that God, when he made Adam in the wilderness, he made Adam in the wilderness, by the way. He brought him into the garden. He made Eve in the garden, and he put her in the wilderness. So men have always been trying to get back to the wilderness after they've been put in the garden. When he made man in the wilderness and put him in the garden, that man he made before sin entered the scene, he made that man for courage. You cannot separate masculinity and courage. If you do, here's what happens next. Courageous character is forged time after time by being held in the fires of adversity and refusing to follow culture's call. Every day we get up, we live in a world where we are going to be in the fires of culture. Culture vehemently disagrees with Christianity. We shared this last week. We're always going to be in the majority. When you walk in a room, except for this one, you're always going to be around people who don't believe what you believe. Always. And if we do not allow those fires to forge us because we refuse to let them mold us into our image, we become men that are so removed from our... Listen to this. This is scary. We become men that are so removed from the biblical design that God put us to live as masculine men, we remove ourselves so far and become so soft, we literally cannot live as followers of Jesus. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and be soft and pliable and molded into the world's opinions. You can't do it. If you do it, you're not a Christian. Christians don't let that happen. The fire that forges courageous men is the same fire that cowardly males use to warm their hands. You can either put your body in the fire, or you can stay back at a safe distance and just sit around the fire with everybody else and let them warm your hands. Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, these are people who are having sex outside of marriage, nor idolater, people putting things, their fears above their fear of God, nor adulterers, people having sex with people who are not their wives, nor homosexuals, homosexuality is a practice, it's not an identity. It's something you choose, it's something you do, not something you are. And the last one is this, nor the effeminate. So this is really interesting. So Paul, I think, made sure to list homosexuals with effeminate so that we wouldn't get confused, because the word effeminate here is the Greek word malakos. Malakos. Have you guys seen me squeezing this tonight? That's Malakos. Malakos. Malakos, this is a Greek word that literally means those who have become soft. I love this tonight's message. You may hate it. I love it. It literally means those who have become soft through a life of luxury and subtle pleasure. Sound familiar? It literally means this. Malakos is where we get the English word malleable. This guy will not last. His faith will not last because he allows the world to mold him into their image. This is not a biblical man. This is an effeminate man where everywhere he goes, he blends into the crowd. And God tells us to blend out of the crowd. This is not a fun message if you're one of these guys. Effeminate is not how you talk. It's not that you drive a non-lifted truck. It's not that you love kitty cats. It doesn't that you fly kites or you're a poem guy. It's none of that stuff. It has nothing to do with that stuff. It's a guy who allows the world to do this to him. He becomes effeminate and he becomes soft. And the Bible says that guy's not going to finish the race of his faith. I don't want to get into a theological discussion. I'm just saying that is the Bible says it, that these people will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because in the garden, God made you. The masculine soul inherently is courageous. And the further we walk away from making courageous decisions that go against the flow of humanity, the further we get into the soft and malleable man, until this man is so far removed from the God design that God made him, Jesus is no longer a factor in his life. Because he's so busy going. That's why I'm concerned when young men today living together with their girlfriends is the same rate as non-Christians. It tells me that those guys are this guy. Blue and manly on the outside and pink and soft on the inside. They're like a big jelly bean. And I question salvation. I mean, right? The Bible says you will know them by their fruits. So this malleable man is soft. He's pliable. Thus, he's not what I would call a biblical Christian, because he's allowing the culture to mold him. And Romans 12 is very clear. It says, you know, Romans 12, 2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. Do not conform. So here's the last thing I want to share with you about character. Courageous character is a mental, social, and spiritual hardening that results from the man who has opted into compounding effects of courage over time. This blade has been hardened in the fires. It's been hardened. It's not pliable. It's not moldable. It's not going to move. The fires have created a strength in this. But I want to tell you this. I told you malleable, malaikos is soft. The opposite of soft, even though I'm telling you there's a hardening, the opposite of soft when it comes to manhood is not hard. It is solid. Solid. Is your face solid or is your face squishy? Think about this for a second when it comes to your faith. And it's really interesting here. I discovered this. I thought this is so cool because in the book of 1 Corinthians, which we studied last month, we talked about sex when Paul's going in and blowing up these guys because they're having sex with their moms, they're having all sorts of weird sex with the pastor up on the hill, you know, type of the pastor, the temple prostitute. He's just rebuking them. Never one time does Paul ever call them courageous. The only time Paul ever uses the word courage in 1 Corinthians is right here where he says, hey, act like men. Men don't screw around on their wives. Men don't screw their stepmothers. Act like a man. But then by the time you get to 2 Corinthians, they changed. And they're like, dude, this guy's ticking us off. We're going to make a change here. So three times in 2 Corinthians, Paul tells them that they're courageous now. So this is cool. We see a church that the guys are going, man, I'm going to step up and be a man. This guy's right. I'm too malleable. I'm too malakos. I'm soft. My faith is squishy. I'm not conforming. I prayed a sinner's prayer when I was 17. I think I'm good to go. That's not true biblically. I do believe that God covers all of my sins when I ask Jesus, when I truly give my life to Christ, all my sins are forgiven. I do believe that. I do believe that. I believe that I have to, there's an all in that moment, right? Listen, this is a quote from my book. So courage cannot be manufactured. It cannot be called yours. when you have proven, it can only be called yours when you've proven your grit time after time. Once history is ingrained so deeply within, courage becomes part of your character. Like a cattle brand seared on the hide of bovine, the character trait of courage is branded over years of stubbornly refusing to throw in the towel amidst adverse conditions. As shared earlier, proudly displayed on the bookshelf behind me is a, I showed you about the most courageous trophy. I'm not going to go to that again. Courage must be ingrained so deeply into the character that it becomes an identifiable trait. He is a man of courage. Each of us are forged in the fires, testing over time. That's what we're talking about. So in 2 Corinthians, listen to what Paul says to the second, at how much this church has grown and how much some of you have grown. In 2 Corinthians 5, 6, he says, therefore, being always of good courage, what? These guys have become men of courage. Knowing that while we are home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. And he's affirming these guys. So the beautiful thing about courage, when we realize, okay, courage is a character trait. Courage is something that God inherently wired me to be. It's synonymous with masculinity, right? Courage, if I don't take courage, I'm going to be a spiritually soft and malleable man, and my salvation will be seriously in question, not by other people, but by God for sure, and you're going to have to do business with God. And it is forged in the fires over time to be a man of courage. And so the goal for us, and this is so funny, in Oregon, in other places we have cattle brands. In Oregon we have tree brands. So this is a tree brand. So every tree in a clear cut has a brand, and this is the brand that represents a tree in a specific clear cut. I'm curious to know what the tree brand will be for that when they clear cut that tree stand in Sheridan with a happy face on the hill. I just wonder what that brand is going to look like, a little smiley face. Anyway, so these trees, when these got stamped, right, after they get cut, they get stamped and identifies them that they came from a certain location, and that has now been clear cut. And when God made you, he stamped you originally, and he said, you are a man, you are a male, you will become a man, and you will be a man of courage. Because courage is my original design for men. And when men walk in cowardice, when men walk anonymously, they are walking away from the original design which God created for them. That's what I learned this week. I never knew that before. That courage and masculinity were inherently synonymous when God made Adam in the wilderness and brought him in. And it is only when sin entered the program. Ironically, sin entered the program when Adam chose cowardice. He chose to not crush the stake in the face and take and protect his woman. And that's when sin came in, and that's when man lost. We've had to fight now to regain the original design that God wants to brand on us. And so my heart for all of us as guys who follow Jesus is that we will be known as men. Like when I am walking around town, I go, yeah, I know Ryan Tim, or I know Gabe, I know Cade, I know Schmiedel, you know. Oh, those guys are... And those guys are legit. Like, those guys say what they're going to do. They do what they're going to say. They're there. They treat their family right. They're kind to people. They don't treat the weak. They help the weak. That tells me you've been branded with the brand mark of Jesus Christ. And your masculinity and courage are the same thing. So that's why we as men resonate so deeply with courage. Because I've never met a man who goes, you know, I'm so tired of being a stand-up guy, I just want to be a gutless coward. I've never met that guy. Because that's not how God made us. That, I mean, when we revert back to that, we're on a slippery slope. Because God made us to be stand-up guys, right? Does that resonate, you know? So that's what I learned this week, that God has made me inherently, and he hasn't made that my wife, he hasn't made her that way. I'm not saying women aren't courageous. I'm saying that men has made us inherently that way. I just want to challenge you tonight. Have you been branded with that? Or maybe God's got the hammer in the air. Some of you guys have been texting me, and God's got the hammer, and he's getting ready to come down, and pow, that's a gutsy guy right there. So where are you in that journey? It's fun to kind of talk about. And I would encourage you tonight, if you've got a situation or if in your heart you're like, gosh, I'm kind of soft spiritually. I'm moving away from the Bible here, and I just need you to pray for me. I would ask you to find me or one of your table leaders or one of your bros and just say, man, can you just pray for me tonight? I'm resonating with this message, and I'm just not there, and my faith is so wishy-washy. I just need to have a 100% moment. I mean, there's an obedience there to the death, and I'm not achieving that in my life, and I just want to. Father, thanks for tonight with these guys. Thanks for revealing something in the Bible that after 30 years of studying courage, I never even realized was there. I hope, my prayer, Lord, is that I did not, I'm always concerned about things I'm passionate about that I don't bring a spirit of condemnation. So I pray that you would remove that, because none of us should feel guilty or shamed, but through your biblical truth, we should be inspired to move forward. So please strike any guilt or shame that I have accidentally heaped on men. Help us, God, to just realize that, man, when you made us, you did it on purpose. And you made us to be men inherently. Masculinity and courage are inherently the same. They work together. And when we talk about courage, our masculinity, those two should be almost synonymous, just very, very closely linked together. So God, help us to be men who year after year choose courage, compounded over time, forged in the fire, glorifying your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.